All right, time to chop it up a little bit with our Denver 7 insider, Troy Rink. Presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great, man. Chopping it up. And, hey, man, when McClain out in Houston says that it's time for the Houston Texans to get rid of Deshaun Watson, to move on from Deshaun Watson, I mean, he's got some juice in the Houston area. Conflicting reports. Where are we right now on the Deshaun Watson, potential moving of Deshaun Watson out of Houston?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a change in posture for John. I mean, he's been doing this for almost 40 years. Great guy, unbelievably connected. So for him to say that suggests that he knows Watson is not going to play for the Texans, because initially John said all along, there's no way they're trading Deshaun Watson, you know, I mean, which is illogical, but I don't think people appreciated how dug in Watson was and is. You know, loyalty to him matters, and the problem traces right back to McNair and Jack Easterby. It's not the new GM. It's not the new coach. He had a Zoom meeting with them, and nothing got resolved. He's basically like, great to meet you. I'm not going to play here. And it's because of the owner and his team chaplain slash life coach slash de facto GM that Watson's over it. And so the question is, when does this stare down end? I would think the deadline is going to be the draft, because if you want to get a first round pick this year, if it's the Dolphins 2, or, you know, the Jets and Dolphins picks at 2 and 3, or even the Broncos at 9, you have to make this decision before the draft, because you're not going to get that pick after the draft, obviously. So that would be, for me, kind of the first hard deadline. We'd all like it to be by March 17th or 15th, if you will, for a free agency. There's no way he's going to be traded by then. They're going to probably, my guess, exhaust all options up until the first round of the draft. And at that point, they're going to have to make a decision.
You know, if you're waving the white flag with a Deshaun Watson trade, why not go full tank and hold on to him for the year and maybe recoup some money, you know, be able to go after his signing bonus, that kind of thing, and just be so bad that you play yourself into the number one overall pick and know that you still have Watson and he's not going to lose any of his value a year from now. So if you're going to really wave the white flag, wave it. And is that their motivation, perhaps, for holding on to him?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's something that makes sense when you look at it on paper. It's hard to do with your fan base, with the people in the building, with your own players. It's just not as practical as it sounds. When you say, oh, well, this, you know, who cares about this year? Well, let's let him sit out. Well, it's a horrible message to send to other players that you ever want to bring to your organization, that you're just going to kind of arrogantly say, see, you'll never play. And I disagree in terms of, you know, he won't lose his value, but you lose value as a franchise if you just, to this point, we're just not going to trade him. And how does that make you better in the interim? You don't have your quarterback. You don't get any of the assets for him. And now other players are looking around the league like, what is going on in Houston? I just think the shrapnel from that would not be worth it. It just gets to a point where you got to move him. You got to move him. And I think that deadline, again, is the first round of the draft at the very end of April.
I know we've been talking a lot about this and a lot about quarterbacks and a lot about, you know, do you move up in the draft to draft one of these quarterbacks that are coming out and all this, you know, all this, that, and the other. What is the damage to Drew Lock at this point irreparable, or can they salvage Drew Lock if they can't make a trade for a Watson, or they don't move up in the draft? Like, where are you with what's going on with Drew Lock and the Broncos right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. I certainly don't think the damage is irreparable with Locke. I mean, this hasn't been a great offseason for him, but Drew has thick skin. He grew up competing as an athlete. He's using this as motivation. He's taking it the right way from everyone I've talked to. And if he was able to have a normal offseason with OTAs, that would help him tremendously. I'm not sure that's going to happen, not with him, but just the league in general. I do think there'll be some version of training camp and, you know, some preseason, but this idea that April OTAs are going to start up and it's going to be look like it used to, I don't know about that. That hasn't been conveyed yet. Now, it might, but to plan on it being a normal offseason, I think, would be naive. In the case of Drew, you know, they would go to bat. They would go with him as starter. It's just basically they've had a wandering eye all off season. It's like, well, if we have to, we'll play him. And it's not like they can't stand the guy. Like he was, you know, they think he has no chance. It's just they know in that division in the AFC, you got to play way significantly better at that position. If you just judge Drew by, you know, for, he started for a year and a half, and a lot of the metrics, 23 touchdowns, 18 picks, it's not horrible. It's just in a time where everything's being microwaved in the NFL and young quarterbacks are coming in and playing extremely well, including Herbert, they can't keep waiting. That's kind of the problem. And is this who he is? That's really the issue with Drew is, are we seeing a guy that's just going to be inconsistent with the football and careless with the football, or with a normal offseason, first time with a repeat coordinator, would he take that next step and be 30 touchdowns and 13 picks and be able to keep them in games? They're not saying he can't, but obviously if they thought he could, they wouldn't be having a wandering eye this whole offseason.
Well, the Rockies are 1-0 in Cactus League play as they had a well-pitched game. They win 5-2 over the Diamondbacks. And I want to ask you, for all the doomsayers out there when it comes to what the Rockies are going to do, is there enough potential in their pitching staff, starting rotation and relievers, to think that they could surpass expectations?
I mean, if you're saying 70 wins, I guess I think they're going to lose 100 games, and for two reasons. With I like the rotation, they're going to compete from the front end, but they got to be way better than they've been. The Freeland, Gray, you know, Senzatella, Marquez, they got a chance to be good early. But you look at the pen, there's just so many question marks when you get beyond Gibbons and Oberg. And if Oberg's healthy, and let's hope he is, fingers crossed, because of, you know, the blood clotting things he's gone through. Let's hope he is, because that would give him a chance. If you're saying how do they get to 70 wins, it's that. They start off fast from a rotation standpoint, and their eighth and ninth inning guys for, you know, through April and May are good. And then they could win 70 games. I just don't know with Oberg. I got to see it. And they're light in the pen right now. And then you get to August 1st. I can't imagine Trevor Story's on the team. So if you're already a bad team and you trade him, that doesn't make you better. And it's not like there's a bunch of waves of young players they've been blocking that we're going to see in August. Like you're going to, oh, there's three or four prospects. I mean, their best prospect is Brendan Rodgers. They've got one pitching prospect, the kid from Ole Miss, the lefty, that should be up at some point, but they don't have a bunch of young guys. So how could they do it, Mike? They pitch really well early, and the eighth and ninth inning guys overachieve, and then that way they're competitive for the first couple of months. But it's going to be a real challenge, no doubt, especially with L.A. and San Diego in the division. You know, L.A. could win 105 games, and San Diego might win 96, 97.
Yeah, but what if they win the Cactus League? Hang a banner, Troy, because that'll be fun. Hey, we always appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
You got it, my man. See ya.
All right, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.